Hello and welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chet, Chapter 8. Before we dive into today's Perek, let's quickly review what we learned yesterday. Yesterday, in Perek Zion, we learned how under Shmuel's strong leadership, the Jewish people underwent a powerful national tshuva movement, where they removed all of the idols and gathered at the special monumental place of mitzvah for a huge gathering of tshuva and tefillah. We saw that during this incredibly inspiring national gathering, the Plishtim became suspicious and they preemptively came to attack the Bnei Israel. But Hashem listened to Shmuel's cries and korban on behalf of the nation, and he confounded the Plishtim with incredibly scary noises, leading Bnei Israel to a supernatural and long-lasting victory. We noted the special tefillah we daven as part of our Slichot prayers that mentions this event, Mi she'ana l'Shmuel b'mitzveh, hu ya'anenu, asking Hashem to answer our tefillos like he did to Shmuel on this monumental occasion. And we ended off our parak by describing Shmuel's devoted leadership style, learning about how he traveled throughout the land, judging and guiding the people, not waiting for them to have to come to him in order to strengthen the nation's connection to Hashem. Turning to our parak for today, Perek Chet, we will now fast forward many years, and we will watch as the stage of Sefer Shmuel is going to shift, with the Bnei Israel expressing their desire for Shmuel to appoint for them a king as the national leader. We will see that their request will be met with apprehension from both Hashem and Shmuel, and through our learning together, we'll try and unravel some of the meta questions that will be bubbling beneath the surface of this perek. Let's jump in. Perek Chet Pasuk Aleph opens up, Vayihi kasher zakin Shmuel, vayasem et banav shoftim liYisrael. When Shmuel grew older and could no longer keep to his rigorous travels among the Bnei Israel any longer, he appointed his two sons to serve as judges over the Bnei Israel. Pasuk Bet, and the name of his firstborn son was Yoel, and his second son's name was Aviah. They sat as shoftim, as judges, in Be'er Sheva. Pasuk Gimel continues, V'lo hachu banav v'darchav, v'yitu acharei habata, v'yikhu shochad v'yatu mishpat. But unfortunately, a scene not unfamiliar to us in the Sefer so far, his sons did not follow precisely in his ways. Instead, the Pasuk says that they were swayed by profit, they accepted bribes, and they perverted justice. Though there will be some Mefarshim who take these Pesukim literally, detailing their sins, many Mefarshim, notably Rashi and Malbim, jump in here to tell us that we cannot read these Pesukim 100% literally here, that his sons would go after bribes, chas v'shalom, or pervert justice in such a way. Rather, they explain that Hashem was holding Shmuel's sons accountable for not keeping up the lofty ways of their holy father. According to the Malbim, Shmuel appointed his sons precisely so that they could continue in his ways now that he was getting older, and they could continue journeying around Eretz Yisrael, judging the people as he had devoted his entire life to doing. However, unlike Shmuel, who would travel around, his sons chose to position themselves both in Be'er Sheva, the lowest and furthest point in southern Israel at that time, placing the burden on the Bnei Israel to come all the way down to them if they needed something. The Malbim notes that even if they hadn't wanted to travel like their father, they could have at least split up, one of them going off north to the area of Dan, and one down south, setting up more access points for the Bnei Israel to get their guidance. But they took their own comfort and finances into account, reasoning that sitting in one place would spare them the burden and expense of traveling all over the country, and that it would also ensure their own local scribes and court officials would make a sizable profit when the Jewish people would come bring their questions their way. Again, we see that Hashem holds individuals in power in positions of power to higher standards, and since they could have followed their father's ways and acted greater, but chose not to, instead staying, they're held accountable as having been drawn after money on the level which they were on. One new and interesting thing I actually heard for the first time while preparing for this perek and wanted to quickly share is that according to Chazal, the sons of Shmuel did eventually do full tshuva for their misdoings. And according to Rashi, Yoel, one of the Nevi'im we will later encounter as one of the Treyasar, is actually this very son of Shmuel. To quote Rashi on Sefer Yoel, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, to Yoel, the son of Petuel, says Rashi, this is the son of Shmuel, the prophet who persuaded Hashem with his prayer, Pita Lakel. Just something I found interesting. Now to jump into the crux of this perek, Pasuk Dalet. all the elders of Bnei Israel assembled and came to Shmuel at Ramah. And they say to him in Pasuk Hey, Hinei ata zakanta, ubanecha lo halchu bidrachecha, ata, sima lanu melech l'shaftinu kechol hagoyim. They say to Shmuel, You have grown old, and your sons, they have not followed in your ways. Therefore, please appoint a king for us to govern us like all the other nations. Pasuk Vav, Vayira hadavar be'enei Shmuel kasher amru tnu lanu melech l'shaftinu, vayitpalel Shmuel el Hashem. The matter was bad in the eyes of Shmuel, that they said, Give us a king to govern us. So Shmuel davens to Hashem. Just to note here again, the godless, the greatness of the personalities we are learning about. When Shmuel is faced with a disappointing scenario, he doesn't act out of instinct or respond immediately. He pauses and speaks to Hashem to gain the clarity and composure of how to move forward with their request. This is a midah in all of our relationships, which we can try and adopt from Shmuel and try to emulate in our own lives, to pause before we react and to try and consider what Hashem would want from us in the scenario which is presenting itself in front of us. Psukim Zayin through Chet. Hashem replies to Shmuel and tells him, Heed the demands of the people in everything they say to you, for it is not you that they have rejected, it is me they have rejected to rule over them, like everything else they have done since I brought them out of Mitzrayim to this very day, forsaking me and worshiping other gods, so they are doing to you. Before we continue with the storyline of our parak, we need to ask the big question that I'm sure each of you are wondering, namely, what was wrong here with the Bnei Israel asking for a king? Isn't there a mitzvah in the Torah in Parsha Shoftim, Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Zayin, Perek 17, to place a king upon the Jewish nation? Furthermore, didn't we just learn the refrain throughout all of Sefer Shoftim that Bayamim Haheim Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Be'Einav Ya'aseh? In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did as they pleased. Wasn't it a failure in the days of the Shoftim that they didn't set up a king? And one more layer to add. Our rabbis teach that there are three mitzvos the Bnei Israel were supposed to fulfill upon entering the lands of Israel. The first, to appoint upon themselves a king. The second, to destroy Amalek. And the third, to build the Beis HaMikdash. So based on all of these, how are we supposed to understand this negative response from Hashem and Shmuel to this request here for a king? The truth is that this question is way bigger than we can fully cover in our short learning together. And honestly, even if we did spend all week going through all the different approaches, there will not be one perfectly neat answer to this question. Nonetheless, we'll try and unpack a few possible ideas together now, which are brought out by our holy Mefarshim, and we'll hopefully come to appreciate the many layers lying beneath the surface of every story in Tanakh, and how each answer contributes to a slice of reaching the truth of the matter here. The first approach, which we can understand, taken by the Radak, is that the problem wasn't the request itself, them asking for a king, but rather the way that they asked for it. Had they consulted with Shmuel about how to establish proper leadership to help continue to judge them and guide them in the ways of Hashem, it would have been appropriate. Instead, they say, appoint for us a king like all the nations. That language reflected a deeper problem, a desire to be like other nations, and a weakening of their trust that Hashem himself would be the one to guide and fight their battles for them. They weren't looking to fulfill the mitzvah here, says the Radak, but rather they were looking to satisfy their own wants and their own desires to just be like everyone else. A second approach is brought by the Kli Yakar in Parsha Shoftim in Sefer Devarim, and he says that the flaw in Bnei Israel's request lay in the way that they framed it. The Torah's ideal is a king over the people, whose authority and awe guide them towards order and responsibility. But in Shmuel's time, they asked for a king for us, implying they wanted a ruler who would serve their wishes rather than lead them. In other words, they weren't seeking principled authority that would elevate them, but a leader who they could control, ultimately bending leadership and even divine expectations to their own will. That's why when Hashem says to Shmuel, Don't worry, it's not you they're rejecting, but me, he's telling Shmuel the reason they're asking for a king is because you were not a leader that they could push over. You were a leader who said the truth and they followed you. And that's why they're asking for a king. They're trying to find a different form of a leader who maybe they could push around more and can get what they want out of it as opposed to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. A third idea the Malbim brings and suggests is that the request wasn't wrong per se, but it was the timing that was wrong. Like rain, which is a bracha, a blessing at the right time, and a curse at the wrong time, imagery that Shmuel himself will actually offer in the speech he's going to give Bnei Israel in Perek Yud Bed, Emir Tashem. The Bnei Israel's request for a king at this particular juncture of time was what was wrong. It wasn't the request that was wrong, it was the timing that was wrong. We have this many times in parenting. When a child will ask for something, you say, please don't ask right now. If you ask later, the answer might be yes, but right now, the answer is no. Sometimes the timing is what makes something wrong. In a time that the Bnei Israel were being led by Shmuel, who performed open miracles for them and helped guide them all this time, who had direct nevuah and clear guidance from Hashem, they could ask for a king at a later point when it's truly needed. But asking for a king now, when they still had all this divine intervention and a leader who was capable of taking care of them, now asking for a king, that was their mistake. The Rambam also comments that their specific request of a king to judge them, l'shoftenu, came as a real personal affront to Shmuel and his kavod, rejecting him for what he was doing for them all along. Had they asked for a king to fight their wars alongside Shmuel's guidance as a judge, it would have been a personal affront and a lack of kavod to Shmuel, the way that it ends up being here in our perek. There's a lot more to say, but to quickly continue with our perek for the sake of time. Hashem then tells Shmuel to warn the people about all of the things a king is allowed to do, a section in Halacha which is known as Mishpat HaMelech. Perhaps telling it here is a way for Hashem and Shmuel to try and dissuade the people from really wanting a king that they're asking for. One thing to note before we list the Mishpat HaMelech, that it's important to note that there are many, many long discussions on this topic about Mishpat HaMelech and whether the things that we're about to list are things that a king should do, or are they just what a king is allowed to do. To list a few of the rites listed here in our perek, in Psukim Yud Aleph through Yud Zayin, 11 to 17. The first that Shmuel tells over to the people, before you think that you want a king, just listen to all the things that a king is allowed to do. The first, the king is allowed to take your sons and appoint them to ride and run before all of his chariots, to take them for any jobs he sees fit. He's allowed to appoint them as his chiefs of thousands and of fifties, or he can choose them to plow his fields, to reap his harvest, and to make his weapons and equipments for his chariots. A king is allowed to take your daughters and use them as perfumers or cooks or bakers in his palace. A king is allowed to take a tenth of a part of your grain and vintage and give it to his courtiers. He's allowed to take your male and female slaves, your choice young men, and your donkeys, and he's allowed to put them to work for himself. And finally, he's allowed and he could take a tenth part of your flocks and you shall become his slaves. Shmuel continues his narrative by telling the Bnei Israel that there's going to come a day that they're going to cry out because of the king whom they have chosen and they have asked for, but Hashem is not going to answer them on that day. Our parak concludes with the Bnei Israel refusing, though, to listen to Shmuel's warnings, insisting that nonetheless they must have a king. It's what they want. And then Shmuel relays this back to Hashem, and Hashem tells Shmuel in our final pesach for today, heed their demands, listen to the Bnei Israel, and appoint for them a king, which they so, so desire. Shmuel tells the representatives of Bnei Israel that they can go home, that now he's on it. He's going to start working on the process of finding that king for them. And that's where our parak ends for today. This parak leaves us with a lot to think about, a lot to process before we move on to tomorrow's perek, notably beginning seeds of machus amongst the Jewish people. With that, I wish everyone a beautiful day and look forward to continuing that learning tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. Today's perek is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.